Everyone's asleep.
Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained procrastination in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is, according to the Prime Minister John Key, who used to work for the Fed in New York, is good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest, coming on and joining us with us here, is from Sacred Geometry International. His name is Cameron Wiltshire. Cameron, welcome back to the show. I've had you on before.
Hey, Vinny. Glad to be back, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. How are you doing, man?
Hey, you know, I'm hanging in there.
Not that good then. Let's see if we can do something about that.
For sure, for sure.
What do you want to talk about today, bro?
Well, there's so much we could talk about. What have you been speaking on this week with your guests? Like, what's fresh in your mind?
Well, synchronicity, I guess. In fact, there was something occurring to me. I'm not sure how tall you are. How tall are you?
I guess 6 foot, 6'1" with shoes on, that type of thing.
Okay,
and
okay.
And you're like 8 feet tall, obviously.
6'4", 6'5" with shoes on.
Okay.
And my cousin Patrick, he's like 6'8". And and you see the size of his feet. He can go snorkeling without flippers and stuff. It's freaky. And he when you're really, really tall, everybody comes up and asks you, everybody says two things. Wow, you're really tall. And secondly, they ask you a question. Do you play basketball? And I was with my mates yesterday. We were editing this this music video. Incidentally, the guy we interviewed the day before was talking about music and synchronicity and stuff like that. And so synchronistically, a mate comes around and we make a music video, of course. And we're standing out, we're talking, and I told him the story about my mate, my cousin Patrick. This very short chick comes up to him in a bar. And she looks up and she goes, wow, you're really tall. Do you play basketball? He looks down at her and he goes, no. Do you play mini golf?
How did she take that?
I don't know. I think it's inconsequential because it's a brilliant line. We recently had this politician in New Zealand, right? He says to this waiter, do you know who I am? What the waiter should have said is, hey, everybody, we've got somebody who's forgotten his own name. All right. Well, that was actually just what was on my mind today. I'm not sure why. I was just remembering it, doing it from yesterday. That's what's fresh.
Seems like a lot of people are having experiences with repeating numbers, synchronicity, you know, mystical experiences more and more. Maybe it's because we're entering a new phase of human evolution. That's my theory.
Yeah, I don't believe in evolution. I believe in devolution, though, and I think we're definitely devolving.
Well, that's like saying you believe in inhaling but not exhaling.
That's true.
You kind of need one with the other. I mean, so why is you don't believe in evolution?
I'm just joking. It was a joke. That's all.
We had such a great dead. I couldn't distinguish it.
Yeah, that's my bad. My bad. It was all in the delivery, yo.
So it's you're just getting up for a while. That's probably we'll chalk it up to that.
Yeah. But there can be an argument for devolution. I mean, and it's what's interesting about devolution is it's not just a biological thing. There's also sociological devolution and so on and so forth. But then again, part in the same parcel, there's also social evolution. Now, is it devolution or evolution, though? Because think about this. We now have iPhones, which allow us to, or Skype, which allows us to communicate video to video, right? Now, is that social evolution, meaning it's allowing the communication between two people who ordinarily wouldn't be able to communicate and see each other at the same time, or is it devolution because instead of being forced to meet somebody in real life and have real social contact, that there's some kind of social skills that are, what should we say, atrophying as we speak? the real skills about being in a room with somebody, or the body language and things that you read off from top to bottom, as opposed to just the head and shoulders.
Right.
And this is the thing that I'm probably, this is a pet project of mine, wondering whether or not we're evolving because of the use of technology in our social spheres, or if we're simply losing what it means to be human.
It's a bit of both, I think. You know, it's inevitable we're going to have to adapt to technology and employ it because, for instance, you know, that's a good, because we're both activists, we both care about the same topics, and we want to do all that we can to inform our brothers and sisters out there as to the real state of affairs, and technology enables that. But at the same time, you know, thousands of trolls online, a lot of them are, you know, government-sponsored, that just want to, you know, muddy the water and poison people and use all these disinfo tactics. So it's kind of give and take as of everything. Maybe with synchronicity. Oh, go on.
Oh, I've just got to say that... everything gets better and worse at the same time.
Right.
You know, like, nothing's ever getting totally awesome or totally suckful. So, you know, it's sort of like the yin and yang. That's what history is. You know, there's big chunks of history where, man, the predominant a bunch of it sucks, but there's, like, these little nuggets of awesomeness in there.
Yeah, truth. I mean, maybe it's just, that's just duality in a nutshell. It's like, have both, the bitter and the sweet. And, but it is a little worrisome because I see that. I went to a comic book convention. My girlfriend's a professional comic illustrator. And so I'm always going with her to different cons. You see a lot of people that are immersed in culture and fantasy culture. And a lot of their social skills are already somewhat impaired. Seeing a culture that reinforces that type of awkwardness. And then seeing how that's become more and more prolific, because that's potentially what the rulers want, which are isolated individuals staring at glowing screens and developing alternative personality to escape from the humdrum enslavement that they exist in. So that's a little bit odd.
Well, I think it's something that's echoed throughout humanity, really. There's this newish film came out called Dread 3D. We went and saw this, and I was watching one of the behind-the-scenes commentary last night on it, because it's a very, very Agenda 21 type of film, like a fascist on-the-spot executions kind of thing, and trying to glorify that. And what I found interesting was that the use of the drugs in the film have these really, really serene, slow-motion, high-color scenes that really break from the rest of the darkness of the film. And the filmmakers were saying that this is something that would obviously happen in a giant concrete jungle where people have a very hard life and 95% unemployment, wouldn't it? They would seek whatever means of escape to something beautiful that they possibly could. And I thought that this was actually quite a profound realization for me, in knowing that, hey, I think I've figured out why so many people are on drugs nowadays. It's because the life that they're being forced to live, crammed into these cities, in a lot of ways, sucks, and they can't deal with it, and they need some form of escape. Likewise, there's that physical escape that people get from ingesting substances on top of the psychological escape. Let's say, for example, you're sitting, you have a family of non-like-minded people, okay? They call you a conspiracy theorist, they demonize you, they laugh at you when you speak. And part of the reason why you listen to shows, say, like the Vinnie Eastwood show or many others, is because you're trying to escape from that family situation, which sucks so much as well, and attempting to manufacture a relationship. This is like theoretical, of course, trying to manufacture a relationship with somebody on the air because they're saying something that you potentially agree with more, a lot more than, say, your family. And this is like celebrity culture, right? That's how that kind of works as well, because, you know, it's such a dull drum life. I don't understand why people want to do all of these things instead of simply changing their life, voiding their need for any of these other things.
Maybe they're in, panted. They're under a spectrum sort. They need to snap out of it. You know, I mean, if you drop the billboards that maintain an illusion, radio programs that maintain an illusion, you've got constant bombardment by advertisements that are subtly changing your perception through, you know, rewiring your subconscious. And if you pay attention to that, and you look around and you're, how many people are in that type of enchanted trance, it can be kind of scary to realize how people are susceptible to it. But more and more, yeah, on the positive twist, I people who are becoming jaded and disenchanted, and they are starting to aggregate, and you know, shows like yours helps those types of like-minded individuals find, start to build something different. There's a part of the population that wants to be led, that doesn't want the responsibility to do something, this gift of life beyond maintain. And that's just maybe just until a few thousand years from now, we can expect that's going to be the day.
Yeah. Now, Cameron, your audio is breaking up a little bit. If you have any other web browsers or anything open, you want to probably close those and save your bandwidth for the Skype there. And there's also some kind of a fan sound in your microphone. So if you want to move the microphone away from the F-16 engine that you have for a computer, there,
sorry, man. It's, I tried to set up a microphone and my face. It wasn't working so well, so I have to go with the internal mic. So I'll lean closer. I don't know if I can do anything about the fan, though.
Don't worry. I mean, as long as we can hear what you're saying, it's fine. Now, the concept here, I think we're really touching on, is about, you know, humankind's evolution. And the thing is, it's about evolution of culture, as far as I'm concerned, because culture can evolve much faster than organisms, in my opinion. Mm. That's assuming the theory of evolution is fine, which according to...
I guess you could say.
Yeah. So, I'm just wondering here, how much have we actually really got to go before we become these perfectly balanced individuals? I mean, we've got a long way to go before we've got a peaceful society, for one. Don't we? A long frickin' way to go, because there's so much misunderstanding everywhere. How long would it take? Let's say there was a global tyranny, and what this global tyranny's objective was to educate everybody as to how to overthrow tyranny and scumbaggery and how to keep eternal vigilant watch over your community so that it never rises again. How many years of indoctrination would it take for an entire world's culture to suddenly no longer accept tyranny, no longer accept bad situations and try to placate themselves with vain entertainment, and instead change those situations for the better?
Well, I can't speak with any certainty, but maybe seven generations, maybe, and especially given the technology that's available. I mean, look at the advances we're making in so many different fields. We're going to be soon destroyed, so that could, you know, plant the seed that there's really no need for a resource war. And so getting rid of that that fallacy that we need to have rights, we pillage others themselves, open up space travel and exploration and showing people that's our ultimate goal, is to utilize all of the resources.
Cameron, you're still breaking up pretty significantly. Would you be able to turn off your webcam? We'll see if that helps.
Yes.
And if that doesn't work, we've got your phone number, so we can connect you up on that one after the break.
Okay, I will work.
Just quickly press the webcam button that turns it off.
I don't use. Is that better?
No, it's not.
No? Shucks. Let me.
No, it's okay. It's okay. There's not really a whole much you can do about it. I mean, I can understand what you're saying. It's just a little bit with the Megatronian kind of Transformers type bajigger to it. So.
We'll do a cell phone. How about that?
Yeah. We will. I'm just going to grab that info up here, unless you want to type it into the Skype chat very quickly. And I apologize to the listeners for the technical difficulties. Skype usually has far better audio quality than phones and things like that. So what we normally do is just have the guests up on Skype. But of course, in cases like this, you just have a phone number handy. It's not that hard. All right, and if you're going to do cell phone, I'd advise you just to turn your webcam back on and then just mute your microphone, so that way we can have your audio through the cell phone and still have the visual for the audience who'll be listening on YouTube.
That sounds great.
And also, conveniently, there's a break. How about them apples? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Saved by the break, saved by the bell. And if you don't expose scumbaggery, you're sure to go to hell. We'll be right back after this little number. The way it's going to be. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Cameron Wiltshire. That's Wiltshire without an H. He's from Sacred Geometry International. Is that .org or .com, bro?
SacredGeometryInternational.com.
All right, it's the .com. Now, speaking of sacred geometry, I was wondering exactly what part did that play in the evolution of human consciousness and the human mind and things like that. Like, have we actually got anything to show for it? Like, check this out, bro. This is what I made with my knowledge of sacred geometry, and it makes Skittles or something.
A great question. I mean, given that everything that we experience already is composed of sacred geometry, I would have to say pretty much everything that's ever been built by man on some level incorporate sacred geometry, whether they realize it or not. That being said, what specific principles have manifested magically? Oh, goodness, I'm not a scientist. I'm not an engineer. So right off the cuff, I'd say perhaps the Gothic cathedrals are an example of employing sacred geometry. The effects are something someone might have to experience in person. I can relate to experiences I've had and places here in North America that incorporate similar forms of geomancy and geometry and the effect it's had on my consciousness. And I can only imagine what I might experience going to, say, Chartres Cathedral. And, you know, and then you have to think, well, what could be potential for people doing a particular ritual or a certain evocation of a certain tone and a certain auspicious time with certain auspicious alignments, perhaps? It creates kind of a super conduit to the greater macrocosm. And perhaps that type of mystical transmutation is something that our ancestors were aware of. So that's theoretical. I think there's people that have, you know, brought up some good points about that potentiality. But in terms of, like what have we created, everyday people can point to and say, ah, that's sacred geometry gave us that, you know, the Great Pyramid. I will leave it at that.
I do think that you're right. How it has, everything's built upon sacred geometry and the mathematics of the universe. Anyway, so regardless of what we're trying to accomplish by talking about it or studying it or understanding it more, it's already everything. So by trying to understand this, what you're trying to do is understand everything. And in my opinion, it's not possible to understand everything. And therefore, it's not the point of trying to learn about sacred geometry. It's more like trying to figure out whatever you can that's within your reach in the small space of existence that you've got, like this little blip on the radar. Like, here's X and X billion years of existence, and here's my, like, 100 years of it that I might be able to learn something on.
Yeah, and it could be that. So you look at, say, for instance, like fractals. Have you ever stared at videos of fractals where they just infinitely grow and expand and contract, and it's the same form? You know, perhaps what sacred geometry does is let us know that regardless of how minute our presence or our influence, that we're connected to this larger framework that we can tap into. So I think about, like, the idea of a wormhole. You know, what if this whole thing, we're in some way, some type of holographic simulation, and we experience, you know, a corner of that in terms of our perception, our five senses. But what if there were a path laid out where an initiate could self-evolve willfully, alchemically, and start to be able to perceive greater range of information, and then to perhaps communicate with, you know, non-physical intelligence that already evolved itself and wants to help us. Maybe there's a benevolence inherent in the system that doesn't get a lot of traction because, you know, if everybody started, you know, communing with God independently, it would be very hard for any, you know, a dogmatic authority to get them to, you know, give up all their power.
And maybe it's because dogmatic beliefs are solid, whereas reality just doesn't. It has a dynamic equilibrium to it. Everything's ever changing, but staying the same.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's really weird to think. Do you believe in reincarnation yourself, Danny?
I've seen some children that have been born 80 plus miles or however far away from a family and know who that family is and everything about them. Without ever having met them, right? So there's something going on. I don't know whether or not we all get reincarnated, and certainly that doesn't happen to everybody who gets reincarnated. Just some people have these incredible recollections of past lives. And, I suppose there's quite a lot of evidence for it. I'm prepared to accept the possibility.
Yeah, and then how much would that change the mass paradigm if more and more people accepted that? I think it would actually be beneficial. Because you think about, like, the Judgment Hall of Osiris and the idea of the weighing of the heart ceremony that takes place for people exiting this life and preparing for the next life that's given in, like, Egyptian cosmology. Are you familiar with the Book of the Dead? Or it's actually, apparently, that's a mistranslation. It's supposed to be the Book of Coming Forth by Day, I believe, which has a totally different connotation. It's something we seem to have done to Egypt overall, is just kind of, you know, put them in this little box that says, oh, they were just egomaniacs and they wanted to build giant structures to glorify their namesake. So just don't pay any attention to them. But what if, in fact, they were some type of just a totally alien culture that had tapped into some of these ideas and realized, wait a minute, this is an illusion. There is this larger game outside of this one incarnation. And to the degree that you become aware is the degree that you become able to change your perception willfully, tap into something greater, and maybe understand laws like karma, so that rather than having a YOLO mentality and say, okay, I'm just going to go, you know, abuse my body and abuse other people and just get whatever I can like a consumer parasite, I'm actually looking to build something greater with my time here, and I'll be rewarded.
Well, there's also the other interpretation, oh, if I die, I'll come back anyway, so it doesn't matter what I do.
Yeah, that's right. But what if you, when you came back in the body of an invalid because you had been so wicked, and you had to, not that all invalids are wicked by any means, but what if you were at a custom-tailored, like, front-loaded program that said, okay, this is what your spirit needs to understand.
Well, conveniently, if we have the global eugenicist takeover, you'll get aborted and you'll come back as something better because of the horrible thing that happened to you getting aborted, huh?
I missed what you said right at the end there. I'm sorry.
Okay, if we have a global eugenics takeover and you're saying somebody will come back as an invalid, for example, the invalids are now going to, like, there's an agenda now to identify and code children while they're still in the womb, so that anybody with Down syndrome or anybody with such and such or blah, blah, blah can get aborted.
And so
what concept does this put upon that little hypothesis of yours that you might come back as an invalid? Because according to the eugenicists, you shouldn't be allowed to come back.
Well, they can't control people at all times. And I'm just putting that out there just for the theory's sake. Like, I don't actually adhere to that. And, you know, I'm working on writing comics, so my mind tends to go in weird places. And, you know, but what if? What if people suddenly, it became very trendy, if you will, to experience altered states of consciousness that could confirm through experience that there is this whole other level of reality, you know. And of course, the eugenicists that you described, they've had their fingers those types of operations with MK Ultra and so on. And then maybe there's history that goes back to ancient Egypt, where maybe you have people who want to liberate and then people who want to control. And that kind of like Jedi Sith duality has just been present throughout all of history, just behind the scenes. You know, but again, I'm writing comics, so make of that what you will.
Well, you know, what was it in V for the Vendetta? Writers use lies to tell the truth. Well, right. Politicians use lies to cover the truth up.
Okay.
Yeah. And I do feel that this is something that human beings have, that these eugenicists and psychopathic individuals do not. Creativity. The ability to use lies for good.
Yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed your recent podcast. We had a gentleman who was an expert on sociopaths and psychopaths.
Oh, yeah, Thomas Sheridan. It was a good show.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Please have him on again. And kudos again for spreading these ideas, because until you realize that such a creature exists, you really are susceptible. I look back at my life and the encounters I've had and some of the concepts he laid out, like, you know, the fact that they could smile, but then their eyes didn't smile, like these telltale signs that you're dealing with somebody that's not really empathically connected to you or your greater good. And so in hindsight, it's given me a lot of clarity. And so that's another paradigm that's emerging, that people are going to say, well, wait a minute. There's this whole predatory species or potential out there. Intelligently, to defend ourselves, we need to inform one another.
Mm. Now, see, I liken that to a horror movie dead giveaway. You know, if somebody says there's a monster in the woods before they find out that there's a monster in the woods, don't go in there, bro, he'll eat you. Then you go, okay, sweet as, I'm not going in there. And then suddenly you don't have no movie.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and, you know, in my opinion, if you're living the horror movie, it's best not to watch the film.
You don't want to wake up and realize that, you know, you are already part of this, or that this is just like a dream reminding you of what's real. So to speak.
Well, it's more like if you get told about psychopaths, you know that there's monsters out there, and so you're not stupid enough to enter the basement.
Right. Well, you know, it comes down to the individual, because what do they do is, from my own experiences, like a lot of manipulators, they're going to use flattery. They're going to try to figure out where you insecure and try to exploit that. And so in a way, they do help temper you and make you self-aware. And so maybe that's part of the system. It's like we need a dose of psychopathy. Thankfully, it's a minute dose, but unfortunately, it's like fluoride. It's accumulated to the point where we're all brain damaged from that. So.
Well, you know how kids get cuts and scrapes and things like that. And I remember some guy, I was listening to National Talk Radio, and a guy called up and he says, you know, everything's getting so soft and padded around nowadays. When I fell off a swing as a kid, I scraped my knee. And then I got up and got on with life. Nowadays, you got padding down everywhere, and it's like, oh, my goodness, do you need a plaster, et cetera, et cetera. And we've just gotten frickin' soft. And I think it just makes us perfect prey for psychopaths, really, because we all haven't been hardened the frack up, as it were.
Yeah, we're being groomed, and it's really, you know, disturbing to see what's going on in American public schools here, where children are being arrested and being tased and you know, just being expelled, which, you know, actually could be a blessing in disguise, but, you know, just being subjected to the system at an early age to condition them to accepting it. Pretty disturbing. And, you know, I myself will never, ever let any of my children or adopted children anywhere near a government institution of indoctrination. And I know there's people, good people out there making that same declaration. So, you know, more power to you, and you're not alone. And you don't need that. You don't need them to get an education. I mean, look, I've been able to teach myself skills that would have cost $20,000, $30,000 to go to art school or video school for in a year's time.
Yeah, skills that you wouldn't have even ever wound up putting into use if you'd only done it in a practice lab. It's like, I was just thinking about that last night. We were sitting here with my mate Daryl from Bass in the Park, and we were just sitting here editing this music video together, and I'm showing him how to do all this stuff. And for somebody to put an entire music video together, like from raw footage, in one night, no. they'd take weeks, months, even years before they go, no, 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 we'll do this right, we'll do that right. And I'm just like, no, no, no. It goes in time with the music. It looks freaking fabulous. Awesome. Done. And when you learn that you don't need to frack around, you suddenly save a shockingly large quantity of time.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sitting there learning stuff and not actually doing anything with that knowledge right at that particular moment is doing? It's wasting fracking time.
That's right.
You've got nothing to show for it. Oh, I've got knowledge. What knowledge? Apply it. I don't have any jobs, okay, because you ain't been doing any jobs while you're learning that knowledge, you freaking idiot. Harden up, you know, just get out there, freaking do it. You know, this is the best piece of advice I was ever given. Well, actually, second best piece of advice, and I'll get to that in a second. I was asking these guys who said that they were into green screening now for, like, the movies and stuff. You know, how do you get into the industry? How do you do all that? And they said, just do it. So it's like, yeah, that's actually really profound advice. You know, you don't need help. You don't need favors. You don't need referrals. You don't need nothing. All you need is yourself and the willing to just go, you know what, frack it. I'm just going to do it. And best piece of advice I ever got was don't take yourself too seriously and don't take what other people say about you personally.
That's sage advice right there.
Yeah, truly. That's Catherine Smith from the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. She's a very, very smart lady.
Excellent. Right, that's what we need. You know, we just need some wise elders. Yeah, that's another thing they do with the schooling system is they put everyone that's in the same age in the same box, you know, so they can't work together and figure this stuff out with children maybe a year or two advanced and get that kind of brotherly, sisterly connection flowing through the whole tribe. And so once we, a lot of, in terms of shifting this in time, the sooner we get rid of the fetters, the sooner we get rid of all the straitjackets that they put around us and the chemicals and all this manipulation and the media, it's almost as though we have this innate reset button that we can press at any time. And maybe that's the spiritual aspect of life.
That's something that I've actually said for a long time is the society is so fracked, like a computer. You just need to set the reset button, begin all over again, okay? All the programs, we need to reinstall, like a full defrag and reinstall, brother. Let's get this virus out of the system. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end a planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Now, we need you to chant a healing mantra for Vinny's computer. So it's gonna go like this. Just kidding. I don't know if anyone's hearing that or not. I'm just kind of BSing here. Waiting for Vinny to get back on. Hope that was somewhat entertaining. Or feel free to ridicule me. Okay, sweet. You can hear me. Awesome. So does that mean I'm on air, American Freedom Radio? I'll just keep beatboxing. Okay. Everybody beatbox with me. Get over yourselves. Like Vinny said, don't take yourself too serious. Whatever you're doing, drop it and give me a beat. Okay, now I feel pretty stupid. But anyway, that's the beauty of the internet. You can be stupid and people you never meet will ridicule you, usually anonymously because they're cowards. But hey, that's the downside of what Vinny was talking about earlier, you know, and culture starts fading and people lose respect and basic decency and politeness. You know, and they ridicule you according to something you posted on a government-sponsored platform like Facebook. Or they come after you in your chat room or your comment section of the articles you post. does get old, but it does also teach you not to take yourself too seriously. So that's why I'm just flapping my gums. I hope Vinny was not abducted by the Men in Black, you know, because he talks a lot about a lot of weird stuff, and that's how they operate, apparently. They just vamoose with you. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to keep talking to myself. Well, let's all say a healing mantra for Vinny being returned by the Men in Black. May a higher alien beings that are benevolent release him using their psi rays. And this is kind of awkward, even for me now. I'll just start reading something kind of interesting. How about that? This is a letter from Randall Carlson to Graham Hancock. This is top secret info, folks. You should feel privileged. Hello, Graham. I hope you recovered from your hip replacement surgery. I have several friends that have undergone that operation and are doing quite well. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be author of the month last December. I feel somewhat remiss in that I did not contribute to the forum to the extent that I would have liked. I was dealing with some health-related issues that proved to be very distracting. So I'll skip because that's a little more personal. And skipping forward. Anyways, I was excited to read that you are planning a sequel to Fingerprints of the Gods, arguably, in my opinion, one of the most important books of the late 20th century. In spite of the criticism emanating from the defenders of orthodoxy, the basic premise of the work holds solid. The evidence for advanced stages of culture in the prehistoric past grows stronger by the year. It is also becoming evident why for so long such evidence could be overlooked. The lack of, quote-unquote, hard evidence for ancient civilizations, whatever form such evidence would be expected to assume, is exactly what one should expect when the truly extreme nature of multiple catastrophic environmental events is taken into account. Consistently, those who have condescendingly dismissed out of hand the possibility of former lost civilizations have utterly failed to take into account the extreme nature of the environmental catastrophes that had not infrequently overwhelmed the Earth. Now back to Vinny. So, safety release from the Men in Black.
Okay, excellent. We're back and all the technical issues are allegedly resolved and stuff. I don't know what the... You can't hear me? You can? Is that better? Can you hear me, Cameron? Hello? Okay, right. Excellent. You can talk, by the way. Oh, crap. We've not got you on your cell phone either now, mate. He's typing away there. I can hear everything he's typing. All right. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for the technical issues. Cameron's sitting there typing away. My Skype's dropping out for some fracking reason. I hate sometimes these kind of issues. I wish I was living somewhere that didn't have, like, the worst fricking internet in the world, but unfortunately, I live in New Zealand. Believe me, it has, like, the third worst internet in the OECD. It's frickin' terrible. And not to mention, this computer's, like... I don't know how the rest of you activists work, but I ram the Shiite Muslim out of my computers, okay? They don't survive terribly long without starting to frack up. It's just that technology ain't made to be used hardcore, like all day, every day, producing hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of content and stuff like that, you know? They just can't do it. They don't hold up. They give in under the strain, and it doesn't matter what stuff you move onto a hard drive. It doesn't matter what programs you install or uninstall. Okay. It just gets so terrible. And so, yeah, here I am ranting about the technical issues, and we finally have Cameron back.
Hey, sorry. By the way,
in case you didn't notice, your microphone's been on the whole time. So now when you speak and you're not muted on Skype, I hear you through the cell phone and the Skype.
Well, let me mute myself on Skype. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, that makes a hell of a difference.
Oh, you know what?
You also just turned off your webcam, too.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I just kind of went into outer space with a little rambling stream of consciousness monologue, so I hope everybody is okay with that.
Yeah, I hope, because I have no idea what it was that he said.
Good, you didn't miss anything.
If you say so.
Yeah.
crap. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. When you have issues like this, it just ticks the frack out of you and it gets you off your game. So in the end, everything comes back to the beginning. We started off this conversation talking about human evolution or human devolution and what's happening and the part technology plays. And I think this is actually a perfect example of what part technology plays in human devolution sometimes.
Right.
Because it just dissolved the fucking conversation. It evaporated like so much cow fart gas.
We had some real momentum, and then, you know, technology just gave out and turned us into monkeys, chattering monkeys. Well, at least me.
So. Yeah. Please release me from technology. For I don't love you anymore.
Yeah. I need to say back to Vegas, buddy.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, it would be cool to do, like, Tom Jones on stage or something like that, you know.
That's what I was thinking. You could throw a pickle in the end seam of your pants. Yeah. Get the ladies to throw their underwear at you. All ages.
Well, I'm be more thinking about, you know, one of those cucumber thingies, but regardless. Hey, speaking of pornography and cucumbers, this is a real. I'm not just being dirty here. This is actually a story that one of my listeners sent me. Monsanto's new GMO cucumbers make your pubic hair fall out. And he said, man, they work really great in the porn industry. And I say, what, the hair falling out or the cucumbers? Probably both.
Hey, two birds with one stone.
Yeah. I mean, you got to dig more on Santo for their credibility and their creativity. I mean, like, you know, they specifically developed something that makes you lose pubes. Man, I doubt that they're a bunch of predatory pedophiles, eh?
Right.
Maybe I'll just diverge there just a little bit too much, and I apologize if I offended anybody, but yeah. Something like 100,000 children go missing every year in the UK, 400,000 go missing everywhere in the United States and never fracking seen again. What do you think happens to all those kids?
I heard it was 800,000. Actually, Bob Tuscan's done some really good work on exposing that, you know, just the shame of this reality that just goes so unnoticed and unreported.
Yeah. Why do you think no kids are on the back of milk cartons anymore? Because there's not enough milk sold in all of America. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.